First Gordo's Corner, brought to us by the Corner Bakery in Dallas Dodge.
Thank you so much, Miller Man. We have a special guest in Gordo's Corner today. A guy we've been a fan of for quite some time, and he so kindly joins us on the phone now. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the program the actor Luke Wilson. Hey, Luke.
Morning, Gordo. How's it going?
It's going well. Now, we've always wanted to get you on for several reasons. Number one, you're a Dallas guy. You're born in Dallas. Went to school at St. Mark's.
Correct.
And do you ever make it back here very often? I think your parents still live here, right?
Yeah, they do. I come back pretty frequently. I go back a lot. You know, got to check in with everybody at the S&D Oyster House and over at the Stonely Peak.
So do you stay with your parents when you come back in town?
Those are my sponsors, so now that I got that out of the way, let's talk.
Okay. Do you stay with your parents when you come back in town, or do you just kind of stay away from the family and go to a hotel?
Yeah, I stay with my folks.
Because Gordo wants to stalk you next time you come to
town.
No,
I don't want to stalk you.
Yeah, okay.
Well, and speaking of sponsors, we also wanted to talk to you about the fact that, in a way, we are brothers because we, too, have been AT&T spokesmen now for the last 10 years. So we
kinda, that's cool.
Yeah, we kind of have that relationship with you.
That's good. They're a great company.
Yeah, you're just a little more big time than we are. That's really the only difference between us.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, guys.
Now, in addition to being a Dallas guy, and we love you for that, we also are like the biggest fans and the biggest proselytizers for the movie Idiocracy.
Yeah, I've heard that. It's funny because I, you know, the way the movie came out, the studio didn't support it, and so I always just kind of figure like people haven't really seen it. And still, you know, I went into like a Starbucks a week ago, and this guy's like, "Welcome to Starbucks. I love you." I'm just like waking up and I'm thinking, God, did I just hear this guy right? So I go down to like wait to get my coffee to think, okay, is he saying this to everybody? And, yeah, then you hear little lines like that, and you don't even know that people know them. But I'm glad people have seen it, because Mike Judge is such a funny guy, and the same thing happened kind of with Office Space, as the studio thought it was, like, such a strange movie. I mean, granted, Idiocracy is a little more weird, but, I'm glad you guys like it. I like it myself. We had fun making it.
You know, we see signs of the Idiocracy everywhere we turn, and I'm wondering, when you're at the grocery store and you pick up some deodorant and you see that it's got a power stripe and it's Arctic Blast, do you think to yourself, yeah, Idiocracy?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just the size of, like, big gulps and stuff like that nowadays. I mean, that definitely is a movie I think about, just with, just all the stuff. It was kind of prophetic in that way, I guess.
Yeah, so why didn't the... I don't understand why the movie company, why Fox couldn't understand that...
I have no idea. Somebody told me it was just that, it hit too close to home to them, and they didn't like the fact that, you know, it was kind of making fun of, I can't remember who owns Fox. It's some huge entity, but I think it was like they didn't like the movie, which is, you know, crazy because, you know, people have really seemed to get a kick out of it, like on DVD and stuff, and on, I think it's been on the Comedy Channel and stuff like that, but I don't know. I mean, you can never tell what's going to happen with movies. It's like, why they wouldn't get behind that, I don't know, and then get behind some kind of lame-o romantic comedy, but that's the way it goes.
and we do see signs of it all the time. I went to the doctor last week, and he told me all three things that the doctor told you. So that was really
good. I'll never forget that day. Like, I was doing the scene with Mike Judge and that guy, and the doctor, you know, something seemed off, and, you know, he was sticking those things in his mouth and my mouth, and I was literally trying to keep track of which things were going where. And I was like, Mike, you know, what's the story with this guy? Mike was like, don't worry, he's a DJ in Waco. as if that like explained everything. I was like, oh, okay, that explains it all. Now I feel better. He's a DJ in Waco. That's good.
We're visiting with Luke Wilson. All right, so one final Idiocracy question. When you're doing the scene with Dr. Lexus, which is one of my favorite scenes when he's diagnosing you, according to your chart. Now, was all of that written and performed as it was in Mike Judge's script?
It really is. As Mike and, gosh, I'm forgetting the name of the other guy that wrote it. It'll come to me. But, yeah, that was actually all scripted. And then that kid did a really good job as the actor and really made it kind of seem totally natural about, like, his wife being a pilot and all that stuff. the name of the writer was Eaton Cohen. Etan Cohen.
Etan Cohen.
But, yeah, it was all scripted. The whole movie was scripted. I can remember saying to Mike, like, the first time I saw, like, you know, the President Camacho, I was like, Mike, are we going to, like, get away with this? I mean, I guess we didn't in the end. But, it was really funny. And Mike's an incredible guy, really funny guy and fun to hang around with.
Visiting with Luke Wilson. Okay, now your brother Owen. Is there any sibling rivalry between you guys? I think you're a pretty tight family, aren't you?
Yeah, no, we get along real well, and I mean, we, you know, when it comes to like maybe gambling or sports, we're competitive, me and Owen, and then our brother Andrew. But no, I mean, not business wise. Just want the best for the other guy. He's the box office king, so I just have to. I just support the guy.
But you got to be the king on the golf course, right? It sounds like you're a pretty salty golfer.
Well, I mean, I play a ton. I'm not that good, and I mean, I feel like I'm kind of in the middle of a couple years long slump, but no, I play a ton of golf and love it, but I'm just the brother that happens to play the most, so I am, you know, the best, and I say that very humbly.
did you play at St. Mark's? Did you play on their golf team, or did you just something you
picked
up? No,
I didn't. I really didn't start playing until you know, after stopped playing high school sports and then started playing more, and used to play at like Cedar Crest in Dallas, great old course. They had, I think they had like a U.S. Open there in the 30s. And yeah, I would just play around at like Tennyson where Trevino used to play and some of those places. But I just one of those things just kind of picked up after stopped playing organized sports.
What were you good in sports? What'd you play in high school?
I played football and I ran track. Just played like wide receiver and then ran track, ran like 400 and 800 and mile relay, stuff like that. I think me and, not to sound like the Big Lebowski, but we still hold the mile relay record, me and three other dudes.
Wow, okay.
What was the worst job?
And the way I feel, if it's still standing now, 20 years later, I really feel like it's not going to be broken.
Yeah, it'll stand forever.
Either an impressive effort or there was something wrong with the timer that day.
No, it was AccuTrack.
Oh, okay.
Okay, all right.
It was official? Not handheld. It was not some coach with the trigger finger.
All right, one of my standard questions is always, what is the worst job you had growing up?
I got a job with this kind of huge construction firm one summer, and these guys, somehow they thought I was related to the guy who owned the company. I was working for HC Beck, that huge company, and somehow they thought I was related to HC Beck, which I wasn't. I just knew a guy that was able to get me the job, and so really all the guys on the crew just, you know, didn't like me, and I was just like, you know, 17 or so, and I really liked all these guys, couldn't figure out why they didn't like me, and they'd have me, you know, like sweep like a football-sized parking lot, and then at lunch they'd all kind of drive through my different piles of dust. And I'd just kind of stand there like, God, how can they're hitting them perfectly? Are they not seeing them? And then once they got me off that, I was working for a surveyor, you know, on the same job, and, you know, I'd stand out there with the stick, and he'd just kind of point up a little or down a little. Guy didn't say a word to me, you know, for a month and a half. and then at the end of the job, it was my last day, and we just kind of ride around in a pickup. He'd never talk to me. I'd kind of try and make conversation, and I just said, you know, this is my last day, and I just wanted to, you know, say I really enjoyed working with you. And I thought, like, he like reached out with his arm, and I thought, God, this guy's gonna hug me. He actually does like me. He just leans over and pops my door open to get out. And so that was kind of a tough moment. Now those jobs are funny when you're a kid.
So what are you working on now? What can we look forward to?
Well, I'm just doing a bunch of press on Death at a Funeral, that movie coming out mid-April, and then working on this HBO series called Enchanted with Laura Dern, and it's written and directed by a real funny guy, Mike White. He's that guy that did School of Rock and some other stuff, and just trying to get a script off the ground that I've written, so that's always... It's always interesting to try and do that. But, yeah, hopefully I can do that, because that's always real fun to kind of make something that you're connected to.
So when it all started 15 years ago and you make Bottle Rocket and it becomes a cult classic, did you think that it would end up like this 15 years later, that you'd be a megastar and all that, or did you have any idea what direction you were headed?
No, I mean, we all... All I really ever wanted to do was just get that movie made, and it was really, you know, Owen and then Wes Anderson, the kid that Owen wrote it with and directed it. That was really just kind of our only goal, and, I mean, I can't believe it was 15 years ago. I mean, it seems like yesterday that we made it, but, yeah, you never know what's going to happen, and the business just kind of, yeah, ebbs and flows, and I'm always just kind of glad to. I really do enjoy the business, and it's really fun to get to work with people that you've admired and stuff like that. I got this other movie, Middlemen, and got to work with James Caan again. So that to me is my favorite part of the business, is, you know, working with people that I've admired, and then get the chance to be lucky enough to do something with them.
And that Middlemen, that's written, produced by a Fort Worth guy, right?
It was produced by this Fort Worth guy, Chris Malik. It was written by George Gallo, really funny guy that wrote Midnight Run. It's more kind of a serious drama, but yeah, Chris Malik is was born and raised in Fort Worth, and he lives out here now, but his wife and kids live in Dallas, and really good guy and fun to work with, and hopefully and that comes out in the summertime, and that you guys will really get a kick out of that movie. It's a cool kind of I wouldn't know what to compare it to, maybe like it's kind of got a Boogie Nights type feel. But yeah, it's something different than I've done, like a real kind of straight on drama.
Do you expose your member the way we saw the final scene of Boogie Nights done with Wahlberg?
I don't, which I'm always looking to do that in movies, get one of those good Michael Douglas ass shots, like Basic Instinct. But I suppose I got to take care of the hail damage before I can do that.
Oh, no, Luke. Sweet Luke.
You know, we were talking about the AT&T commercials everywhere. When you're watching college basketball or a football game, they're front and center. When those ads come on, do you sit through it and kind of go, oh, yeah, that was kind of funny, or do you
push
pause on the TiVo, or what do you do when your commercial comes on?
I I was laughing about it with a friend because I was saying I react like they do in animals, like John Belushi in Animal House when he sees Bluto's picture up. You know, I just kind of like scream and then change the channel. I do like the ads, but I mean, you know, you're trying to watch a game and relax. The last person you want to see is yourself. But I got friends that, yeah, they're like, hey, Luke, if I wanted to watch the game with you, I'd have called you. Can you give me a break with the ads? But I did have fun making them. Real funny writers, and really liked the director was this guy, Errol Morris, who's like a great documentary maker. He's that guy that made the Thin Blue Line, that like Dallas crime documentary. So, yeah, it was real interesting for me to do something like that because I never had, just to see how a commercial gets made, especially by a company like AT&T.
Well, you still probably have a lot of Dallas friends, and hopefully you have some friends that listen to this station.
Oh, yeah, I do. I got a ton, and I also just reminded them just to listen. But, yeah, I got a bunch of friends that are big fans of The Ticket.
Cool. That's great. That's great. Well, God, man, Luke, we got to get you on again. You're great to talk to.
I'd love to appreciate it. Maybe when Middleman comes out, be on with you guys again. And thanks very much for having me. And I'm always enjoy listening to you guys when I'm in town.
Well, good, man. Awesome. Luke, appreciate it. And come up to the studio anytime you're in town.
Yeah,
you're more than welcome.
Cool. Where's y'all's building?
We're down at 3500. It's like Maple and Oak Lawn.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So it's
right in the heart there. Well, no, thanks very much for having me on, guys, and I appreciate it. And good luck with the rest of the day.
All right, man. You too. Thanks. Appreciate it. That's the great Luke Wilson, star of our favorite movie, Idiocracy, and one of the nicest guys we've ever had on the air.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He was really nice.
He's just so unassuming and talking.
Well, you know, Fernando's idea to get him on was based kind of on the AT&T commercials. He is everywhere now. And as Fernando said... Before we can do this interview, he's very likable. Mm-hmm. He's just a likable guy.
And he's incredibly likable.
That added to it, just having him here on for the last 15 minutes, he was great.
Well, I'm thrilled.
I hope we didn't Chris Farley him, and I hope he knows, though, how much we worship Idiocracy.
I think he picked up on that.
Okay. After being peppered with five straight questions about it, yeah, probably.
Y'all were getting close there.
There was a
Chris
fine
Farley.
Line.
Yeah, what was it like when you did that scene?
Yeah,
was that
doctor,
cool?
You know
the doctor said that?
Did y'all like rehearse that? Was that scripted, or did you just make it up?
Because it was so great.
All right, well, thanks to Luke Wilson.